Ladies and gentlemen, we are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What is up? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports. I'm your average sports watcher, your sports fan. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
Exactly. And right now we are in Pitt's, Big Pitt's studio. We've invaded his studio, so you may hear him pop in now and then talking. He's doing work in the background. Ray had to go to a hair appointment. If he wants to talk about what hair appointment he had, we can talk about that at a later date. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
And if you're new to the podcast, Big Pitt's is the Kansas City Chiefs' number one fan of all time. He's a huge Chiefs fan. He's a huge Kansas Jayhawk fan. Because he's from Kansas City?
And he's a Kansas City Royals fan.
Royals fan,
he's all about Kansas. He loves the wheat.
Yes, but Pitts, you do your work. Let us do the podcast, and if you hear anything you want to chime in on, come on in.
Hey, just thankful for Ray's implants, or I wouldn't get this chance.
Going to say where Ray was going, but that's okay.
You said he had a hair appointment.
But I didn't say what kind. I said if he wanted to talk about that.
Throwing him under the
bus. But that's okay. When we start this podcast, we always do a little game. We call
Would You Rather?
Okay, see? Okay, Pitts, that's not even the real music.
That's okay, whatever. Ray plays different music, but that music will work.
See, this is why we always have Ray doing this and not Pitts.
Okay. Would you rather have your flight delayed by 8 hours or the flight? Yeah, turn down a little bit. There.
You want to start the question over?
Yeah. Would you rather have your flight delayed by 8 hours or have the airline lose your luggage?
Oh, I don't mind the flights being delayed. Like, that's just more time for me to go to the bar and hang out, whatever. I never fly. Lunchbox, we have this conversation all the time. I never fly back to home or wherever I need to be, like, at a deadline. Like, I never wait till 10 o'clock on a Sunday, 10 p.m. on a Sunday to fly home. I'll leave first thing in the morning, Sunday morning, so I have all that time. So I'm stress-free. 8 hours? Just go to the bar, order me a Bloody Mary, watch some football on a Sunday. No big deal.
So you're thinking about this all wrong. Let's say you're leaving on vacation and you're delayed 8 hours. That means you wasted an entire day of vacation sitting at the airport. You can lose my luggage all you want. You know why? Because you, the airline, are going to buy me new clothes when you lose my luggage. Because when you land and they don't have your luggage, you tell them, look, I got important business meetings I got to go to. And they're like, just go buy whatever clothes you need and we will reimburse you. So they can lose my luggage. I don't care. But I do not want to be delayed 8 hours and waste a whole day of my vacation sitting in that airport.
When you're starting your vacation and your flight's delayed, you stay at the airport? Why don't you just go home for 8 hours?
Because it
carry on with your day.
You don't know it's going to be 8 hours. You could be there for an hour and then be like, okay, it's delayed another hour. Oh, it's delayed another hour. It's delayed another hour. And then it ends up being 8 hours. You can't leave because they can move the plane up.
I always tell my wife to just pick me up and let's go home and have lunch or whatever.
But that's what I'm saying. You're wasting a whole day of vacation. So do not delay my plane 8 hours. If I'm going to, Pitts is going to a Kansas City Chiefs game and he's delayed 8 hours, he may miss the game.
Well, that's why you don't leave 8 hours before the game starts. You just leave a whole day.
No. What if he doesn't have that option?
I don't know. But to your point, though, you did lose your luggage one time. We were going on a work trip to Wichita, Kansas. They lost your luggage. We had an event that one night, and you went and complained and said, hey, I need my luggage. I was going to a formal, expensive dinner. My business attire is lost. And dude, they gave you an allowance. They gave you money to go buy a suit and whatever you needed.
Well, they just said, give me the receipts, and it had to be pretty much within under $400. So I bought jeans, I bought shoes, I bought a shirt,
I bought a jacket. Socks.
I bought you socks.
A shirt.
I bought underwear, and you never got that shirt. I kept it. I bought a belt. I bought everything you can think of. I thought of everything.
And you didn't
I didn't
need
even
any
need
of
all
it.
That. Yeah. I didn't need all that. One time I was going to visit my wife's family in Houston, and my father-in-law and I were going to play golf the next day, and they lost my luggage. And I was like, man, I got an important business meeting. So I went and bought new golf clothes.
Even though you didn't have a meeting.
No, I didn't. I was just going to play golf. So I went and bought new golf clothes. That's awesome.
I mean, when I saw that in person, I never knew that happened. So that was pretty cool. I've never lost my luggage.
I mean, getting delayed is bad news. But I have even worse news for Eddie here.
What are you talking about?
And because we usually don't talk fantasy football on this podcast because The rule is no one cares about your fantasy football team. But it's not really about our teams. So Eddie is, we're in a league and it's called the Dynasty League. And Eddie has to win this week to get into the playoffs. And he needs me to beat the guy that's called Morning Woodhead. Okay.
And my team, by the way, is the Philadelphia Beagles.
So there's only one problem, Eddie. I think I'm going to lose on purpose.
You can't.
No, no, I can because I want it. No. It's not dirty. It's I want to set my team up for the best possible position in the playoffs. And I want to be on this certain side when I play next week and the week after. I want to play on a certain side of the bracket. I don't want to have to face the number two seed who I think is the best team in the playoffs. So if I lose this week, I can guarantee my shot on the week, what I think is the weaker side of the bracket. So I just wanted to let you know and the Beagles know that I think your season is coming to an end.
Okay, well, one, this conversation is making me upset. I cannot believe you would do that to me. One, because I'm barely... Listen, you know that that's what I need. I'm in seventh place right now. You know that's what I need to be in the playoffs. The prize for this is like, I don't know what, $800? $1,000 maybe even?
Right.
It's good money.
And like, that's why I need to set myself up for the best possible way.
If you win, you go to the playoffs.
I'm already in.
Exactly. It's going to be a little tougher for you. I understand your strategy. But if you win, we both get in.
Like, what does that do for me, though?
We're friends.
I don't care.
You have a flat tire and you call me, I'll go help you.
I understand that. Okay. You will. Even if I lose, you would still come help me if I had a flat tire.
No, I need in the playoffs.
This I understand.
How competitive he is. You knew that going in.
What, Pitts?
He's competitive. I said it's dirty, but I agree with him.
Right.
Why would you even sign up for week one if you're not going to fight till the end, man? I mean, you can't just... He's smart. I got to get on the mic over here. I'm working. That's smart.
Now, looking at it, though, is there any way that I can really... No.
You have to have that guy lose.
God. Does anybody else in the league control their own destiny, which they could be trying to do what you're doing?
They could be, but Eddie has to have me win.
My fate relies on his... victory.
So who's at fault here? Him in the last week or you for all the weeks prior?
Well, me. I mean, I'm not at fault. I mean, I've tried to win.
It's just like in the NFL in week 17 when they rest a lot of their starters. I'm going to be resting Drew Brees and Kamara and Todd Gurley because I need to set up myself for the best possible position going forward.
I think, honestly, you're just trying to make me upset. I don't think you're going to really do that.
I'm telling you. I called my brother last night and I was like, man, if you look at the bracket, I don't want to face you in the second round, so I have to lose this week so I can be on this other side of the bracket.
Is your opponent weak? Like you were talking about sitting people, is your opponent weak? Because that would give you
his opponent too. Is weak. Yes, he could easily beat his opponent if he started his players.
No, yeah. I mean, is his opponent going to play week two? Weren't you saying that you weren't? I don't know fantasy football, but you weren't going to start your big
no,
guys this
no,
week.
No, no. Basically,
the guy I'm playing has to win to get in. Too.
Yes,
like, if he loses,
he needs
Eddie, and Eddie wins, that guy's out. So
correct.
If I sit all my players and don't put a lineup in, he's going to win.
Here's an opportunity for you to get back in, though. Do you have any shot of making money if you make the playoffs? I'm not going to ask you this.
Yes,
I'm going to ask Lunchbox. Does he have
once you make the playoffs, you have a shot to win. So
okay, his team wise, like
everybody,
brother, the way fantasy works, I don't know if you play it, but it really doesn't matter who you have. They could be awesome all year, but if they have a bad game that during the playoffs, they're just not. You can't win.
So why don't you, being friends, why don't you try to monetize the situation that you're in? Because the more, if any of the prize pool is shared, meaning if you have a genuine friendship when this 50-minute thing is over with,
brother,
if he could get you back into the playoffs,
you could agree to split it with me.
It would be an opportunity for you to monetize your situation. You got two chances, not
split your winnings
necessarily, but come up
or
with
give
something.
me $100 of your winnings if you get any winnings.
$100,
then I'm motivated to play my players. I'm just.
Are you open to this?
Oh, I'm open to negotiations. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'll give you $100
if you win.
If I win, I'll give you $100 of my prize. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, why not?
I somewhat feel like I should be included in
this. No, brother, that was a great idea.
Hey,
thank
brother,
you so
that's
much.
A great idea. I will now, listen, I didn't even think about that, to be honest with you, until
genius,
brother just
brother.
Said it. So I will now start a lineup to try to eliminate Morning Woodhead, because Morning Woodhead can be bad news for you.
Yes. And what's your team name? Austin All-Stars?
No, Austin Big Timers.
Austin Big Timers.
Because
again, you've had this name for years, and it's just dumb.
No, it's a great name. When we lived in Austin, and I was dominating that league, we moved to Tennessee, and I named myself the Tennessee Titty Twisters.
You did? You what?
I renamed my team the Tennessee Titty Twisters.
I never saw this.
And We had a bad couple seasons. So last season, I changed it back to the old name, Austin Big Timers, and I won the championship.
Okay, so now you think it's good juju.
It's good juju to keep the Austin Big Timers. Oh, so now we have it on tape that if Eddie makes the playoff and wins the championship,
I could easily give you $100.
Okay.
I mean, were you fishing for that, or
no,
is that just
no, something? Brother? I didn't even know. Brother brought it up.
Brother, that's a great idea. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So now Eddie has a chance to make the playoffs. You know, his life's good.
I truly believe it. All you have to do is just start your players that you normally start, and you will beat Morning Woodhead.
I do too. So Morning Woodhead can be overcome.
Let me ask this, because I don't know fantasy. I mean, I know kind of a little bit about fantasy football, where you stack your teams with
brother,
different
get
players.
On that mic for some
oh,
reason.
It's weak. When I get my players, obviously some of your players aren't going to be playing in the postseason, correct?
So like, what, no, that's that why. That's why. The regular season for fantasy ends this week, so it's over before the regular season ends.
So
in
everybody's
NFL.
Fantasy team is going to be stocked with players who are in.
Yes. Correct. Okay, you just right. had to get worried about if you have the New Orleans Saints players, me, Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, and Alvin Kamara. You have to worry that if they clinch, they start resting players.
Yeah, sure.
So that's the one kinda problem.
Like his situation,
sort
right
of like
now
my
in
situation,
fantasy.
But. It's solved. I will play a lineup.
Can we just say the Saints look good, buddy?
They do look good. And tonight, I'm excited about tonight because I love Thursday night football, but usually it's bad football. But anytime
I can, not bad football.
Anytime I can see the Saints on national TV, I'm for it because they throw the ball.
What do you mean anytime? Like always?
No.
Just this year.
They're usually in the prime time.
So right, this year. Last year, they're high-flying. They're action-packed.
Yeah.
They got stars everywhere. They have skill players that put up points on the board. Drew Brees is awesome. So tonight, it's going to be an interesting – I'm interested to see if the Cowboys' defense – if the Cowboys' defense can slow down the Saints. Because I've been telling you all year, the strength of the Cowboys is their defense.
You did, and I didn't believe you at the beginning, and I see it now.
Right. I just know if the Saints score 28 points, the Cowboys can't win.
Correct. Their offense can't put
if
up
those. They score how many?
28.
28.
Okay.
I mean, I would even argue if they score 21, we're screwed.
Because of the lack of potent offense. To Dallas.
Right. Yeah, I don't think Dallas can score
it's hard
28
for the,
points.
It's hard for the Cowboys to score. I don't know why. I mean, unless Ezekiel Elliott just goes off, it's hard for them to score.
I'll tell you what, man. Cooper looked good.
He does. He does. And that opens up
his own a little bit.
That opens up the offense for sure. But Lunchbox, I had a dream last night.
Oh, here we go. That they won.
That the Cowboys won. Okay. I had a dream, and I know that's what I want. But no, it's actually not what I expected. Like all week I've been walking around, I have friends in town that are Cowboys fans, and I see them and they're like, dude, the Saints. I'm like, no, just it's a loss. Let's just look at this. It's a loss. Doesn't put the Cowboys in a bad situation. Let's just lose this game and move on and win the rest. Like
we have to win the rest if you lose tonight, right?
Yeah, well, not necessarily, okay. But
right, not necessarily, because the NFC East is so weak you're gonna be okay.
Yes.
The Cowboys have scored 28 points or more twice this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They win or lose.
It's tricky. I just don't know. I don't see them putting up that much against the Saints. But the dream in my dream last night was just the defense. I think the defensive line is going to put so much pressure on Drew Brees that the Saints have to run the ball. I mean, the Saints have to depend on Ingram and Kamara to make all the big plays. Because
no problem.
I believe that we'll put so much pressure on Drew Brees. And I also believe that the secondary will not let Michael Thomas or any of those receivers catch anything tonight. And I feel like they will really stop the Saints tonight, and the Cowboys can win.
I don't think you can get to a quarterback that gets rid of the ball that quick. I think that's one of the things I love so much about Drew Brees, man. I mean, just talk about true route runners, man. The guys are impressive. I mean, they're all that way in the NFL, man. When you get a backup shot of Drew Brees, like if you're ever sitting in the end zone, or if you ever see those views of how those plays are
drawn. You're talking about his backside or his throws?
He got a nice butt, but I mean, it's awesome, man.
He's got a nice butt.
It's magic to me. I mean, the guy throws. You're not going to get pressure on Drew Brees, Mark. I mean, it was a dream. I'm glad you had that dream. But why are you dreaming about a regular season win? Why don't you dream about the Lombardi?
No. It's a big deal.
I dreamt we won.
The Cowboys need this. Listen, the Cowboys are so.
It's an important game.
It's an important game for them in the NFC East. And I just looked over the Saints' schedule. They've scored less than 28 points or less only twice this season.
But who won? You didn't say who. The Cowboys 28 points. Did they win or lose those games?
They won those games.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. But it's hard for them to score points. It's easy for the Saints to score points. So that's the thing.
And
the
you,
Saints have one of the best rushing defenses in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is, can Ezekiel Elliott run the ball against the Saints? And one of the reasons I think they have such a good run defense is because the Saints get up by so many points that teams abandon the run and they don't. They're just throwing the ball all the time.
Oh, gosh, that's
so
such a good point.
So the interesting aspect is, can the Cowboys keep it close where they can grind out the clock because when they want to feed Ezekiel Elliott over and over and over again and keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands?
And when you say the reason they have a good defense, you mean the numbers, the reason they look like a good defense on paper. Against the rush.
Right. Yeah,
they
yeah.
They look like a good, not necessarily that they are. They
mean false numbers.
Gotcha. Okay, okay. That makes sense.
And so, yeah, it's a 7.5-point spread.
That to me is big. 7.5-point spread means that it's like that's, and I said earlier in passing the lunchbox that like, man, I mean, looking at this point spread, Vegas just doesn't give a team like the Saints seven, you know, they don't give them 7.5 to say that, oh, yeah, it's going to be an easy game. Like, this could be a really close game. To me,
how are they always right on the numbers? That still blows my mind.
You know, brother, we have this conversation. It's math. They do. It's all just math.
You say that, but it's not. Like
it is. Wait, well, they have. Listen, they have no emotion. They have algorithms that they use to come up with these point spreads. It is nothing to do with emotion.
I wasn't genuinely asking the question.
No, I know.
You are correct. It is math. That's the only way for you to be accurate. Is math.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't know how the math works, but I mean, it truly. It's anyway. It's remarkable.
And that's what it is. That's what I'm saying.
I won't bet
us. As humans that are sports fans, we have emotions. We have emotional connections. So it's hard for us to separate ourselves and come up with a logistical, oh, this should be the point spread or this and that and feelings. And that's why we gamble. It's because of our emotions.
Yes.
If you just do the math, if you do numbers and you just listen to your numbers, that's when you're usually right. So listen.
High percentage of you can be right.
Right,
at
high,
a high percentage.
Percentage.
But like, I love when they call a close game and then it's a blowout. Mm-hmm. I love it because it's like, yeah, you're not always right.
They're
Vegas
not,
punks.
They're not
computers,
always right.
You're not always right.
And they
right.
don't mind that because 90% of the bets coming into them were on bets that they were right on. The 10% that they lost are the bets that you're talking about. They
yes.
get to, they care less about.
Yes, but a couple weeks ago, Vegas took a bath. Because
right,
I mean,
they took a
not,
bath.
Right, it's not when you're going to be wrong or right. It's maximizing when you're right and minimizing when you're wrong.
Brother,
correct.
Sometimes you say some smart things.
You do say some smart things. And so...
Sometimes.
That's... I was trying to think of what I was going to say about the betting and the emotions. Oh, so this goes back to my Thursday night football, who's the spread. So what have I always told you? Just take the home team, right?
Yes.
After last week, I believe that the home team on Thursday is 10-3-1 against the spread. 10-3-1. Because last week, Cowboys covered at home on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints
but
covered
it. But okay, that was a Thursday night football. Is this Thursdays?
That's Thursdays. If I'm going to lump it into my Thursday night football, the only one that didn't cover was the Lions at home against the Bears.
Correct.
So 10-3-1 against the spread. So what does that tell you? That tells you should take the Cowboys in the 7.5 points. If I was a betting man, which I do a pool, I will take the Saints. I will take the Saints because...
I call BS on that. No, I don't, if you're saying the Saints. You're telling Eddie to take 7 points and the Cowboys.
No, I'm saying, according to my theory, if it's right, but for this game, in my gut, I'm not going to listen to the numbers in my pick'em. I will take the Saints because I will live with the Saints not covering, but I could not... I would be more upset with myself if I picked the Cowboys and the Saints blow them out by 40 because I'm like, God, that's so obvious.
Has the Saints won a single-digit game this year?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't seem to me a team that wins by 7 points, meaning that they usually are.
There may be truth to that. I mean,
usually they don't. You don't see
they beat the Ravens 24-23.
Was that week one?
Okay.
That was October 21st.
I mean,
whatever week.
So long ago.
Week six, maybe.
Yeah, that's what they won. I mean, they crushed it. They won 43-37 in overtime over the Falcons.
Oh, and yeah, and
they won
that game today.
Like, they won 21-18 over the Browns.
So they've had a few, I guess.
They've had a few close games. So it's not like it's unstoppable. But that the 21-18 against the Browns was before they got rolling.
I think tonight is a bet with your heart. Tonight is one of those. It's one of those bets. You know, when you do a 10-game parlay, and you always look at it and you're just like, oh, yeah, we go for sure, Vegas odds, go for the numbers, and then all the ones that you end up losing are the ones that are crazy that no one ever saw coming. This is going to be one of those. You never saw the Cowboys coming on this one.
Like the Patriots coming into Nissan Stadium and scoring 10 points?
That one, too.
I mean, how much?
Yeah, or how close it was with the Jets. Same thing.
Didn't Tennessee put, 30-some on them? What was it, 30?
Something like that, yeah. They dominated.
I mean,
and then Tennessee loses two in a row. I mean, it looks terrible.
Or when the Bills play anyone and
they
end up winning.
They were coming off the win at Dallas, weren't they? Weren't those back-to-back games?
Yes.
A big
yes.
win against Dallas, and then they beat the Patriots.
Correct. And now they're back to being the Titans.
Yeah, so if you want to bet with your heart, I understand being, you know, having your heart in it. But what I don't understand is people that are nuts. And I want to talk about the people of Louisville, okay? So they want they fire Petrino.
Yeah, because it's bad.
Because it's bad. So they think they're going to go out and get Jeff Brohm. Because...
Who is Jeff Brohm?
That's what I'm about to tell you. He's from Louisville. Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville.
Not Louisville.
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 How do you say it?
I say Louisville. I don't know which one's right.
Yeah, maybe that's just forget the Ville. Take the Ville out of your head and just call it Louisville.
It's different with different states, though, because say Nashville.
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 We don't say Nashville.
Right, but it's
I mean,
Louisville.
Some people do, but I say Louisville, but I say Nashville.
Coach, right. Try it again. Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah, you got it. That's it.
All right, Louisville. Louisville. I don't know.
No,
Louisville.
Say, yeah. Ville.
Louisville.
Just there north. Just north.
Yeah, there. So... They fire Petrino, and they get to go and try to get Purdue's head coach, Jeff Brohm. A, because he played high school football right there in Louisville. Louisville. And then he played college ball at Louisville. So they thought they were going to get him to be their next head coach. They have a meeting, and he says, you know what? I'm going to stay put at Purdue. Thank you, my alma mater. I appreciate it.
Wow.
So I want to talk to these idiots. I understand loving your school and loving, you know, and being upset and being sad. But to go on Twitter... and say that you're going to burn down Jeff Brohm's high school, where he went to high school, you have lost your mind.
Who tweeted that?
That's a foul.
They had to cancel school today because a threat came in on Twitter that someone was going to burn the school down. Like, guys.
That's illegal, right?
It is illegal. Someone will get in trouble. They will be able to track it. All because your emotions got the best of you. I understand loving a sports franchise, being a fan. But to go on Twitter and say you're going to burn down his high school because he didn't want to be the head coach at your university, let's relax. And this, maybe...
Let's assume this person was joking. I mean, it's a horrible joke, but let's assume that they're just making a...
Right. Word, they obviously
but they're venting frustration. When you go on in Twitter and you do things like this, and you put that you're going to burn down someone's high school, it tells that coach... Man, maybe I made the right decision in staying where I am because these guys have unreal expectations. The fact that just because he turns down a head coaching job, you are going to burn down a high school.
Yeah, but who tweeted that? A person?
Yeah,
a person.
Yeah.
Well, who else do you think?
It wasn't like the school. It wasn't the Louisville account. Like, right?
But I understand. What I'm saying is fans. It's okay to be a fan, but you can't take it this serious. This makes your whole fan base look like lunatics.
They're not thinking about the fan base or
it's
anyone.
Not the whole fan. It's one crazy.
It's
wacko.
One dude who's just trying to be funny.
But
just because somebody steals cucumbers and you're at the Kroger doesn't mean you're a thief because you were in the Kroger shopping for meat.
Brother, what the?
No, I understand what he's saying. He's saying
it's one crazy
you're just
loon, dude.
It's one crazy loon, but it makes bad. It's a bad look for the fan base. If one person throws snowballs at an Iowa game or a Colorado game and hits a player, what do you think? Man, those fans suck.
No, it's snowballs. We all would have done it. That's
no,
funny.
No, that's what I'm... See?
Or it's like going to a Raiders game. One Raiders game tries to fight you, then everybody says the Raiders...
The Raider fans are bad. You get lumped in.
We collectively lump
in. And so that's what I... If you want a coach to come, he turns you down. It's okay, guys. Like, don't burn down the school.
I guarantee you 99%, 99.9% of the students are feeling the way you're saying right now. Like, they don't care. It's okay. It's fine. But people, I think the big problem, though, is people don't realize that when you tweet, the world can see it. And they can take you seriously.
Well, not only that, they're going to react to it. So you have to be, if you're listening to us, you're an idiot.
No, I really don't.
Anybody that would do, I mean, not just
Yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, you're the one that said you're going to burn down the high school, you're a moron.
Yeah,
well,
and we all
don't understand the implications of that. It's not the threat. Let's take the layers behind it because now you have law enforcement involved, you have fire department. If anybody can be involved in that because you have to be proactive because we live in a world where people are effing crazy.
But, brother, what I'm saying is that, hey, look, you're on your phone or your computer and literally you're typing. Like, we're used to just typing in our phones or our computers and it's a text message or it's an email. Or whatever. People, I really think that people don't realize that when you push send, anyone in the world can see it and they will.
No, I think people realize that people can see it and they want them to see it. They just don't understand the consequences behind
well,
it.
Well, that's they don't realize you're an
good
idiot.
Point.
That they understand. That's why they tweet it. That's why they hit send is because they want people to see it.
Those
but
people
then,
should have a flip phone.
But those people, they don't think 10 minutes down the road, they're not. They probably realize. You know what? I could probably get in trouble with that.
I probably shouldn't have sent that.
Sort of like when I was in college, okay?
Don't give dumb people smartphones.
My roommate, one of my roommates got in a little fender bender. He was going 3 miles an hour and bumped the back of a car. And the guy was like, the guy he hit was complaining about back pain, neck pain, and all this, trying to get more money.
Smart.
Go ahead. Bro, and, you got work to do?
And so, no, he's doing work, but he's just saying smart. Okay.
That's smart.
So, my roommate was mad. My roommate was mad about this. And he wanted to go visit the guy at work. He worked at Quiznos. So, we go by Quiznos. And he wasn't working that day. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. So, 7 months later, when we are moving out of our apartment, my roommate finds the guy's number written on a piece of paper when he's cleaning up his room. And he's like, this is that fool that tried to scam me. And so he calls him. He calls him and says, yeah, you fool. You think you got neck pain? I'll give you some blanket neck pain. You want to come out? I'll meet you and we'll fight and I'll give you some neck pain, you idiot. You're trying to take advantage of me. I hit you going 3 miles an hour. I'll put you in the hospital.
Dang.
And he hangs up.
Threat. You can't do that.
He hangs up. And about 45 seconds later,
cops,
he says, oh my God, that was probably the stupidest thing I've ever done. And has to call the guy back and just be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know. I was in a bad mood. I got fired up. I really apologize. I didn't mean it. And luckily, the guy didn't call the cops. So that is the exact situation of this guy threatening to burn down the school. You put it out there, and then 10 minutes later or whatever, you're like, oh my gosh, I probably shouldn't have done that. And the prime example is my roommate, and he went on to be a Marine and a lawyer.
Hoorah.
And he's a smart dude, but you make dumb decisions. Dumb decisions.
And you can't tell me it was kind of cool that when you were like in elementary school or junior high, not elementary school, probably more junior high and high school, and you had a big test coming up and somebody made a bomb threat and everybody had to walk out. And then before you, when you got back.
Never had like, that. Never had that
oh,
happen.
Oh, that happened to us like a couple
That's
of times.
That's terrible.
Back when real stuff like that didn't happen, though. We're talking about back when reality wasn't like reality today.
That's true. You know, I mean, yeah, then, those were just things that people did
silly.
As pranks.
Yeah, 100%. And the real stuff didn't happen.
Right. No, guys, real stuff happened back in the day, too.
Not in schools.
That, yes,
man.
They did.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. You just didn't hear about it as much because there's not 24-hour news cycle. The 24-hour news, that's sort of like,
I mean,
people.
If there was a real bomb in the school that was making the news.
There's
we're not from the 1950s.
Okay. Has there ever been a real bomb in the school now?
Well, there's not bombs.
Exactly. Well, you just said there wasn't bombs in the school.
I'm talking about back in the day, like, we weren't giving first-person shooter drills to kindergartners. I mean, we weren't in a world that we're in today. So back then, stuff like that
was jokeable.
And you
know why? It's because now it's 24-hour news cycle, so we put this fear in everybody. There was things that went on back in the day also, but it wasn't 24-hour news cycle where we just kept it going, and we got into people's psyche and the fear. Sort of like parents that say it's not safe for your kids to play outside nowadays. Why? It is probably safer now to play outside than it was when we were kids.
Why would it be safer?
There's more technology, there's cameras, there's everything, there's more people, like there's more visual.
It doesn't make it safer. It's not like people are going to stop doing what they're doing.
I mean, when you say outside, like, I mean, when I grew up, and I've got a few years on you guys, but when I grew up, and I'm sure you can relate to this, I think it was a gentler time then, you know, as far as the climate of the world. But you went home not because of any certain time. It was just when the street lights came on, you knew it was time for dinner. Your parents, you know, we're in a 3-block radius. You know, you got your buddies. I had, you know, Martin that lived up the street and Brett and Kylie that lived up the street, all within walking distance. But we felt safe. We were always safe. I wouldn't let my kids run out and play, maybe in a fenced backyard.
Why? But why? Why would you not now?
Don't get mad at him.
No, I'm not, asking you because
let me
it makes no sense.
Why. Let me explain to you why. And it's back to your point of the 24-hour news cycle and being with social networking and with camera phones and ways for you to, in the moment, know what's going on in places way away from you all times. I mean, we're connected to the entire world, not just our country, at all times. So we're obviously alerted to things that go happen, but I do not think that today is nearly as safe as it was 50 years ago. I want my kids playing in a poodle skirt before I want them in skinny jeans. This world is a lot less safe than it.
I don't get that.
I don't understand.
Oh, 50 I get it. Years times ago, I want 50s. My kids going to the sock poodle hop, skirts. Drinking milkshakes with their girlfriends.
I do not understand.
It's not a safe place. I'm not letting
it
my kids play.
It is so much safer now.
Don't be my kid.
You can't make that statement because you don't know.
I do know because there's cameras recording everything. That, so you're going to see
but
license plates.
That doesn't stop people from doing anything.
And do you understand kidnappings? Most kidnappings are someone you know.
than they probably were then, too.
Exactly. So why are we freaking out? Like, you won't let your kids go outside is just the most...
Never said they wouldn't go outside. I'm just not going to let them play to the extent that I was allowed
and
to
play. And that's crazy. That's crazy.
I just think, even with you being a newborn dad, I think you have to be more careful in today's climate than we could have when we were growing up.
No, I don't, it's just I don't, the news has got that in your head. You just hear about the things that happened. The same things were happening when we were growing up as they are now.
I disagree.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Like, as a newborn dad, like, I don't know what it was like to parent them because I wasn't a parent. I was a kid then. Like, I don't know what it was like 30 years ago and being – it's different. As a parent today – I don't know if it's the news cycle or whatever. It's just different. Like, go in your neighborhood. You're not going to see the kids playing in your neighborhood the way you saw them when you were growing up. You're just not going to.
The level of evil is not the same today as it was then. The innocence in this world has left in the last 50, 60, 70 years, in my opinion. I'm only 41, but just in 41 years of life, I've seen innocence leave.
I don't know what the explanation is, Lunchbox, but in the neighborhoods today, you're not seeing what we saw in the neighborhoods when we were growing up. I don't know what
exactly,
it is.
Exactly, because it's paranoid. Maybe parents.
But if you let your kids out, they're going to be the only ones playing with themselves.
That's fine. That's fine. I hope they're out there playing by themselves then. Because my kids will not be in the house sitting in front of a TV playing computer games.
I didn't say they're playing watching TV.
I'm just thinking, and I'm not even going to say it's more, say it's dangerous. I just think you have to be more alert as a parent today than maybe parents 30 or 40 years ago.
Well, and here's, outside. Why? And here's the thing, too, though. Like, if my kids are going outside, I'm going with them. Like, but what's wrong with that?
No, that's fine. But I can't believe you won't let... Like, your kid is 10, and you won't let him ride his bike around the block by himself.
He does now, but I can see him.
See, that's...
He's not going around the neighborhood.
But let me ask you this. Say he does make that decision.
Why in your mind do you do that? Why do you have to see him the whole time?
I have no fear factor in anything. I'm not worried he's going to get lost. I'm not worried he's going to get kidnapped. I just want to be there with him and see him.
That's his son. There's one of him in the world. There's not another dude. Another one. Like, that's his son.
So you're telling me my dad didn't love me because he let me ride my bike out of sight?
No, but for somebody to tell, again, you're comparing today and his kids to 30 years ago, which is the basis of our argument here. We're just saying it's not a safe environment. And even if Eddie decided to let him, he just has to have a little bit more concern or care because there are crazy wackos in this world. Regardless if we're known to them now because the news or the social network or the smartphones, if I would not let my kid at 10 years old, because you know what? You only get one chance. It only takes one wacko to go by, pick my son up, throw him in the back of his Prius, and go to a freaking state I've never been to, and then we've got an Amber Alert. Or I could have been a good dad and said, you know what? Cool, my work can wait. I'll make that video later. I'm going to go run around the block with my kid for 20 minutes. And I know my kid's coming home with me. I just think there's no fault in either way to parent. I just think Eddie is smart.
So until he's 16 and gets a car, you're going to go everywhere with your kid when he wants to go outside?
No, I didn't say no. Again, let's make it vanilla. My job as a parent is to ensure your safety at all times. If I feel like it's a situation where you can go pick your booger skin and eat, ride your bike out back and I don't have to worry about it, then cool. I'll sit inside and drink my tea and watch golf and make sure you're okay. If it's not a day like that and I don't feel like you're in a safe environment, I'm going to go with you. You're still welcome to be a kid. I'm not going to put a leash around you.
Yeah.
I just love you with everything I have. And for 18 years, until you have the ability to walk away and be your own man, I'm going to do everything in your best interest to keep you safe. If that makes me a helicopter parent, then gas me up.
Oh, man, I'll be in the sky all day.
Hey, you guys can be helicopter dads. My parents were not helicopter parents.
You're talking about your parents in a different time.
No, it's the same time.
There are cameras on
every street corner now.
Oh, my gosh.
So you should feel safer. There's people with camera phones. So if they see something, they're going to film it.
They're going to see some predator pick up your child off his bike that you weren't standing next to, put him in the van, and then all that video is good for is a license plate of the white truck you're trying to find. We're just kidding.
So where's the transition to the next
Speaking
sports
of dads.
Yeah. There we go.
You said New Balances are dad shoes.
Yes.
Well, Kawhi Leonard has left the Jordan brand, and he signed a deal with New Balance.
Do you know why?
Because of money. Because
they listened to this podcast. They were like, guys, we have the bad reputation. We have a bad reputation of being dad shoes. We need to step up our game.
Really?
Because
I like New Balance. They're just too expensive.
They're so comfortable.
They're great
They're
shoes.
Very comfortable.
New Balance, great shoes. But look at them, though. Like, and I don't even know what they have now. Maybe they have some cool design that they've been working on. But look at them in the last 10 years. Whoo, they look like dad shoes.
But I just wonder Kawhi's thinking. So first he throws a fit and he leaves San Antonio. And then he leaves the Jordan brand. I mean, his Jordan brand shoes, they weren't that cool looking.
But it was the Jordan brand.
It was still the Jordan brand. And now he goes to New Balance. Maybe New Balance gave him, you know.
Major money.
Well, maybe. Or they just promised to make him the face of New Balance, and he wanted to be the face of something. Maybe his representation got in his ear, sort of like they did, I felt like, in San Antonio, and said...
His uncle, right?
It's his uncle.
Yeah.
Took over and was like, hey, you need to get your name out there. You should be the face of a shoe company. And New Balance has nobody that I know of. And so they signed Kawhi Leonard.
Do they? Because cool. New Balance make like sport. I mean, I know that
shoes running, they make running shoes. I have no idea if they make basketball shoes or not.
Basketball shoes.
So I guess, or any professional sport. That's what I was asking.
Like, but Coach, so give me a backstory a little bit on his uncle, because I've only heard people talk about, like, yeah, his uncle's his agent and like does all his business.
Well, he got rid of his agent and his uncle took over.
Who is he?
He's just a guy that once his dad died when Kawhi was younger, okay, and kind of took over the father figure role. And Kawhi Leonard feels very loyal to him, trusts him, and. It seems in sports that when you let your family members take over, it gets a little murky because you don't.
Yeah,
they don't.
Business and family
is really tough to do, mm-hmm. And so
I could see where it'd be tough on both ways, though, because I could see where you would be excited at family. You'd feel like a little bit more protected, or feel like maybe there's some genuine caring going on as opposed to an agent just trying to collect money.
You want me to get brother riled up real quick? Yeah. Business and family don't mix because money is evil.
Money is absolutely.
Family is love.
Money is the only thing.
And money is
evil.
That's why they don't mix.
And everything. Money's worth nothing, and money's worth everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another shoe story I thought was really cool. Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
He's with Under Armour. So this little girl writes Steph Curry a letter. Hi, my name is Riley, just like your daughter. I'm 9 years old from Napa, California. I'm a big fan of yours. I enjoy going to the Warriors games with my dad. I asked my dad to buy me the new Curry 5s because I'm starting a new basketball season. My dad and I were so excited we logged on to the Under Armour website and were disappointed to see that there were no Curry 5s for sale under the girls section. However, they do have them for sale under the boys section. Even you can customize them if you're a boy. I know you support girl athletes because you have two daughters and you host an all-girls basketball camp. I hope you can work with Under Armour to change this because girls want to rock the Curry 5s too.
Oh, I love that. How old is this girl?
9 years old.
Ah, oh, dude, that's great. That's good parenting right there.
It's awesome that she wrote that.
I mean,
that's my question.
It's not a bad. Even if she didn't,
it did look like kid handwriting, though. It does look like kid handwriting.
Because like my son's 10 and he can totally write a letter like that if he wanted to.
He can spell all those words.
Yeah,
I wasn't he knows how to spell all that. Just the genuine sentiment and the way that it was presented, I thought was very classy.
Very classy. Steph Curry replies.
Oh. What did he say?
Hey, Riley, shut up. No, he didn't say
that. Oh, my God. Hey, I thought that's what he said.
He said, hey, Riley.
Shut your mouth.
I appreciate your concern and have spent the last 2 days talking to Under Armour about how we can fix the issue. Unfortunately, we labeled the smaller sizes as boys on the website. We are correcting this now, underlined twice. I want to make sure you can wear my kicks proudly, so I'm going to send you a pair of Curry 5s now. And you'll be one of the first kids to get the Curry 6s. Lastly, we have something special in the works for International Women's Day on March 8th, and I want you to celebrate it with me. More to come on that, but plan to be in Oakland that night. All the best. Ruin the game, Steph Curry.
Okay.
You want to know my thoughts?
That is awesome.
Listen, that's cool and all, but that's Steph Curry fixing their little glitch. They never thought about a girl. They never thought about girls' shoes. Never was it even a speck in their mind or their thought. And they got this letter and they're like, oh my gosh, like, why didn't we do that? Hey, Curry, let's do a whole campaign off this letter and let's make it look like, oh yeah, you know what? You're right. You're going to be the first. You're going to be the spokesperson because you know what? We screwed up. We never thought about women wearing our shoes ever. That's what that is. I know it's sweet and all and it sounds cool.
No, that's what he's saying. From. He's saying they screwed up. Like that's exactly
this.
What they're admitting they screwed up.
Yes, but this is a campaign.
But he's
this
saying
is,
they're admitting. He wouldn't have never responded to that if it wasn't an opportunity for them to monetize an already branded situation.
This is a marketing campaign for
totally, yes. Totally market. Yeah. But it's smart. They see.
So it's not like, oh, Steph Curry. That's so nice. Such
did
a nice
Steph
move.
Curry,
this
right?
Is a, this yeah, is a plan.
Steph Curry wrote that.
It just came from his verified Twitter.
No. The letter is in his handwriting. Like it's handwritten letter.
Yeah. Because it's hard to tell him, hey, Steph, write a letter to this and we're going to do a whole campaign around.
No, I know.
Hey,
it's,
what's
No, I
what's
understand it's a whole
in,
campaign. I get it. But yeah. Yes, it's sort of like the Colin Kaepernick was a whole campaign. Everything's a campaign.
Well, the Colin Kaepernick became a campaign. That was
well, this became a campaign,
his
too.
His movement, no. That we would never saw the light of day on that letter. That letter would have been trash.
But yeah, but Nike didn't have to, after he kneeled, didn't have to center a campaign around him unless they were going to make money.
No, I get it, but it's after the fact, after that he knelt. Like, after the
but
kneeling.
Yeah, but this is after she wrote the letter.
Right, but this letter, okay. But whatever. The kneeling was a national thing. He did it on national television.
But Nike could have just left it alone.
Well, yeah, but no.
But they saw a chance to make money.
And they realized that, woof, we really like should do this because this is cool. Like, this is cool. It's, what does it do to us? Make us automatically all go, aw, like, that's so
right.
sweet.
I think both situations.
When if no one would have ever, the campaign wouldn't have jumped ahead of social media going, yeah, that's BS. They nipped it in the butt before everyone else could have caught this letter and said, yeah, Nike, what the boo? Like, what?
It's Under Armour.
But you know, oh, yeah, Under Armour. Like, where are these girls' shoes?
If we genuinely want to, the reason I don't get behind all this crap is because if you genuinely want to do good for people, you're going to send them one pair of shoes. No, you know what? This is an awesome idea. I can't imagine having the kind of wealth and the ability to touch America like somebody with that kind of wealth would do. Like, if I had the disposable income and the impact that you could make on the world in the 100 short years that you're given, why wouldn't you buy the whole freaking school?
Well, brother,
why wouldn't you buy them all? Let's give one girl a pair of shoes.
Brother, it's a double-edged sword because
you
one...
can't do...
I'm not
you
saying
you
force
can't,
it.
Here's...
I don't understand the mindset. I was raised different. I would love to have the ability.
No, brother, you're wrong. Because, brother, you make more money than someone down the street, but you don't go buy them lunch every day. You don't go buy that whole office lunch, even
you
know,
you don't
make
know
more
my heart. Let somebody come down the road and ask me for a bite to eat.
No, they're not asking. This girl didn't even ask for shoes.
I know she didn't ask. I'm just saying, I'm backing Eddie because they're only trying to monetize this for their own personal gain. This cat does not give a hoot
but that's
about
America.
Getting a pair of
that's
shoes.
America. That's America.
That's
business.
So
that's
it takes
business.
The generosity out of that tweet and you can flush it down the toilet. I don't think Steph Curry's a bad guy. I'm just saying, do we do things for our own self-absorption and our own me, and the spotlight on me for Steph Curry because he gave some girl a pair of chick shoes? Why wouldn't you have provided, like, do something on the front end of it?
Don't
do something once you got caught. Something proactive.
That's my point in all this. Like, the only thing I'm saying is that this is Under Armour and Steph Curry, and it's not even Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a basketball player. This is his business venture.
Sure.
This is Under Armour planning out their business thing. Steph Curry is just the face of this shoe. Like, he is the endorser. He has no say in any of this, and he probably never even got the letter until Under Armour came up to him and said, hey, this is what we need to do with this. Are you on board? And Steph Curry was like, absolutely, yes, we should have done that.
The whole thing was designed and just put your name on it.
We should have done that a long time ago. Thank you, Steph Curry. I know. We've been doing this. We've been behind this letter for a while. Like, we understand. We got a whole plan on this. That's all I'm saying with
right, but he could say no.
He could.
And
but
you
why
to say
would he?
You to say that he needs to do something on the front end.
I didn't say
no,
he
no,
needs
you did.
To.
He said,
why don't we do things on the front end?
You don't know what
caught.
They do behind the scenes. You don't know how much charity
That's
work
true.
They do. This is just one example of something doing. They do. Everybody, all these athletes, a lot of them do stuff that you don't see. They do a
That's
lot
true.
Of stuff.
A lot of people do that.
So you can't say, why don't they do something on the front end? They made one mistake and they put boys instead of girls on the website.
I just
and they came out
sincerity.
And corrected it.
So, brother, that's why it is a double-edged sword, because there are a lot of people in our country that do donate and you never hear about it because...
I understand.
Right.
So the reason you
and
do
And
wanna...
shouldn't hear about it.
Hold on,
because the reason for doing
no.
it is not...
Wrong.
I disagree
wrong.
A little bit about that, because if you don't tell people that you're doing it, then you don't give people the idea of doing it.
Right.
Sometimes you can inspire someone by doing it.
Carrie Underwood tweeted, be the connection, save a life, where you donate and you get on the bone marrow transplant list.
Yeah.
Like 10,000 people or something signed up because of her tweet. So that's what I'm saying. It's okay that it's in the public eye sometimes, because then people are like, oh, let me read about that organization.
It's okay.
Oh, they do an amazing thing. Sort of like celebrities with St. Jude. We're going to have a radiothon next week and artists are going to come in and play. Are they terrible for coming in and playing? Because, A, it gets their name out there, but it also says, oh, well, if Luke Bryan
supports it, then I should support it. So it is a double-edged sword. I just don't think that this specific scenario with Under Armour and Seth Curry is that. I think this is a company,
publicity.
a company saying like, ah, dang, we should. Yeah, thank you. Really, thank you for this letter because we just realized that we should have girl shoes. We really should. So props to this little girl and the parents. Because
honest question. That's an honest question.
No, I think it was just the difference
of the shoe.
I think the shoe's going to be the exact same. It's just they're going to be listed as girls and boys. That's it. I don't think they're going to, unless they do design different ones where they're going to be different colors specifically for girls.
Which they may even start doing.
They might do that. But what they're saying is they made a mistake by the girl, because if a girl goes to the website, they're like, oh, it's only for boys. And a 9-year-old doesn't realize that the shoes probably look the same. Yeah. It's just they just under the boys section. And so that's why.
Can this not be a precedent for all? Like, why wouldn't you make one for each?
It might be.
But
so it's a win for everybody.
Yes. It's a win for everybody. Yes. It's not a bad thing.
I wear a size 14.
It's not a bad thing, and I feel bad that I brought up the other side of it because I just always...
No, I understand it's for publicity.
I think that's smart, but you have to be alert to that. You can't believe everything you read.
No,
how do you know
guys,
Riley's not a friend of Steph Curry's? It's like, hey, I need you to send this tweet out. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to piggyback it, you know?
I'm just saying,
don't be so naive that you think that everything you see is truth in the world, man. There's reasons behind everything.
Especially in business.
You guys are missing my point.
What's your point, Lunchbox?
I don't know what you guys think my point is. You guys think I'm acting like Steph Curry is a saint or something I just think it was a cool story. I understand that Under Armour did it because they're going to make more money because now these shoes are going to be available, and it's saying, hey, the Steph Curry 6s are coming out. I understand that it's also part of marketing, but it's still cool.
And
they could have just ignored the letter.
Talking about it is even more
great
publicity.
But I don't think anybody's disagreeing. You bring up a valid point, but I think Eddie's response is you have to validate that. You question somebody's motive. In other words, would they have responded to the tweet, whether it was Under Armour or Steph Curry, if it wasn't an opportunity for them to look even better?
You don't know they would have.
Here's my little dumb PSA. You read stories like this or you see a commercial and they see all this stuff or whatever, just understand, like, if you want to buy the product for what it is, buy the product for what it is. All these little buy one, get one frees, everything that a company tries to do to get you to buy something or even pull your heartstrings. Guys, if it's a business... they're just trying to make more money.
They genuinely care. You guys think that it's only about the money. People can genuinely care about other people.
They can, but if it's a business, they're just trying to get more sales.
But I think
we don't care about our listeners. We just trying to make money. That's it.
Hold on a second. I feel like this goes back to what we were talking about earlier when you were talking about, 50 years ago as today and the safe things. I feel like both you guys are right. I do feel like we live in a world where money comes before compassion. I think money...
And you see that in businesses. That's all
I'm
saying.
Yes, that's all I'm saying. It doesn't mean
listen,
it's right
we
got to
move on. This is one of those arguments that we get into and people hate it because we talk about it for so freaking long and it gets awkward at the dinner table.
I don't think that we disagree really necessarily. No.
I think it's going to get awkward and people are going to listen to this and they're going to be sitting at the dinner table and they're going to be like, this is awkward. And it's going to be awkward.
Wait, people are listening to us at the dinner
table? Yes, and it's going to be awkward for them and it's going to be awkward for us and it's going to be awkward for Max Johnson and Mark Richt.
Why?
Because Mark Richt is the head football coach at the University of Miami, and Max Johnson is his dad was Brad Johnson, played in the NFL. He's a four-star quarterback coming out. Mark Richt is his uncle, and he committed to LSU.
Ooh. Is that a slap?
That is
a slap in the face?
That is a pretty bad slap. But then I'm also thinking it would be very hard to go and play under your uncle, because if you get benched or you don't get to play, then the family dinners are even more awkward. The Thanksgiving, the Christmases. So if your uncle was the first one to offer you a scholarship to come play football, and you say, no, I think I'm going to take my talents to LSU. I'm going to go to Baton Rouge. So Max Johnson is going to Baton Rouge to LSU. He said, uncle, you can take that scholarship and shove it.
Okay. I don't know if this is the case, but I've always read stories about like Bob Dylan and Bob Dylan's son, Jacob Dylan. Did you know that Jacob Dylan, the lead singer of the Wallflowers, is Bob Dylan's son?
Yes, I know that. But they don't want to be known
forever,
as that.
Forever, he didn't want to take the name Jacob Dylan because he didn't want his career to be based on Bob Dylan, his dad. And there are a lot of people that do this that have like famous, you know,
relatives,
family, whatever. But maybe this was a move for him to prove that I don't need my uncle. I don't want to go to my uncle's school and have everyone think like, well, the only reason he's the starter or the only reason he's even playing here is because of his uncle.
I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about the Kawhi Leonard agent being family. You know, it can create some havoc situations. It could do benefits too, but you know, is it good to be that close with family and business, or you know what you're doing? Because it can make the dinners awkward. If it doesn't go exactly as it planned, it's going to impact your family life in a negative way too, or could.
And you're right about awkward though.
Like, awkward. Yeah. Or do you think that he gave his uncle a heads up saying, "Hey, Uncle Rick, Uncle Mark, whatever, you don't call him by the last name.
Right.
I'm not going to be coming." Like, they had Thanksgiving this, you know, past week.
Yeah.
They probably didn't have it together because whatever. But he probably said, "Hey, Uncle Rick, you know, can you pass me the Uncle Mark? Can
Uncle
you pass
Mark.
Me the turkey? Yeah, thanks, man. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to go to LSU.
Oh, wait.
What? Give me that turkey back.
Turkey back. What'd you say?
Yeah, I just decided that I think the best place for me is to go down to Baton Rouge and play for the Tigers.
Get out of my house.
But Uncle Mark.
Get out of my house.
Can I at least take my pie?
Get out of that's you think that's how it went down?
I mean, that has to be how it went down.
I mean, for sure they had the conversation before.
It's a lot of pressure.
I probably couldn't invite him to dinner before he actually signed with somebody, because then he'd get in trouble as a coach.
No, it's family.
Doesn't
matter.
No, yes.
Nah, absolutely.
You
does.
Can do whatever you
if
want.
If your dad is a coach, you're telling me you can't eat family dinner with him because he coaches college football?
If he passes you the turkey before you sign, it can be seen as...
Brother. So you're telling me Chad Morris's kids can't eat dinner with him because he's a college football coach?
Brother, do you think that's that important? Like, that's family. This is Thanksgiving dinner. Like, they don't care.
Just saying, if he goes on to... I mean, just saying.
I just think... Well, you might. If you get in trouble,
I'm bringing my own food. If my coach is serving food until I sign, if you come get me,
if you get in trouble for eating Thanksgiving dinner with your uncle, then the NCAA is already whack enough. Then it is really, really whack. Really whack.
What do you think? I'm not gonna lose my shot at some
Lunchbox. What do you think
about that?
Yeah, why do you think he did that?
Maybe he just liked LSU better. Maybe he didn't want to go to Miami. He has his reasons, and it can be pressure to be playing for your uncle, and maybe he just liked the co-eds at LSU better than...
All about the ladies.
Did he have a choice? There's only two schools.
No, he had a lot of choices. There was a lot of schools that offered him.
So he's heavily sought after?
He's a four-star recruit. Let me see who all offered him. He had offers from Florida State, Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina, among others. So he had big schools.
He had options.
Like, he's a legit Division I football player.
I don't think you can hate on the guy. He goes to where he wants to go.
No, and that's great. I hope that they didn't, put pressure on him or make him feel bad, and they can still go to family dinner, and maybe he can still play with his cousins. I don't know.
I mean, if he's that good. Sure.
Well, I don't know. Like, wasn't it a big deal maybe I'm thinking of the movie. What's that movie, Blindside?
That was shady.
But wasn't it a big deal? Like, one of them went to Ole Miss, and they wanted him to go to... Where did he end up going?
He went to Ole Miss.
Well, then
what
was
his team?
Another school.
Was it
the Mannings, or was it...
It was...
Was it Peyton going to Tennessee when they all... Eli and...
No.
And
Michael,
the dad went to Ole Miss?
Michael Orr, that was
his name. Eli went to Ole Miss.
And then their dad, Cooper... Or no, that's not Cooper. What's his dad's name?
Archie. Went to
Archie.
Ole Miss.
So they were Ole Miss, and I think the story is they were upset when Peyton went to Tennessee.
Oh, maybe.
So it is, I guess, a big deal, like, when your family is dedicated to one school, or, you know. Like,
especially if it's in the same conference, it kind of feels like a slap in the face.
Right. Which LSU and Miami are not, are they?
No, Tennessee and Ole
Miss. Yeah, no, I know, but I'm connecting the two to this story.
No. You say Illinois?
Miami?
Miami. I thought you said
that. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. But, the awkward family dinners. And my boy Donald Nixon has filed a lawsuit. He is suing.
Who's Donald Nixon?
He's my boy.
He's his boy.
Suing Playboy.com because he's legally blind. And he said in the lawsuit, he cannot fully and equally use or enjoy the facilities, products, and services provided by the website.
Well, you can sue Ford. They make vehicles. That's dumb. How are you going to sue people? He can't drive either. Are you gonna sue
this
everybody?
Is your boy.
He said that the Playboy.com and PlayboyShop.com are violating the American with Disabilities Act because their sites aren't compatible with his screen reading software.
Oh.
Does he at least have speakers? I mean, you don't have to have a visual to make...
So Homeboy was pissed that he couldn't see what he...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. How do they... I mean, I don't know much about coding and writing websites.
Well...
But how do they make you be able to see the ladies?
I think he's saying he's legally blind, so he could probably see a little bit, and he probably has software that magnifies it to a certain level, and he can see...
The girls?
Know. Yeah. Well, first off, my question is, does Playboy.com... Is it just like the magazine?
I've never
been to Playboy.com.
Here, log on real quick.
I'll check it right now.
Log on real quick.
Don't get a virus.
You probably have to put your credit card number in there.
Let's see.
So if that's the thing, like you,
close one eye. So you can see
I would just imagine that's his problem, that the website's not compatible with his app. Like that's what he said, right?
I think he's got worse problems than that if he's on a computer trying to get his.
Hey man, some people.
Okay. Some people enjoy that. I'm not gonna knock my boy.
What is it?
That just looks like Playboy. It has the articles and stuff. You don't. There's no naked.
Where's the centerfold? Genuinely, so you just saying
no.
That,
he's just saying because he like. Because
no,
likes
I don't
that.
Know Donald Nixon.
Who is he though?
He's just
he's
a guy.
He's a dude.
Okay, so he filed a lawsuit,
brother. You
he
know,
can file a lawsuit for anything,
brother. You know, in America, you can sue anyone for anything, whenever you want, brother. That's what makes it America.
And I'm gonna sue you guys for being helicopter parents.
I'll give you time. I'll give you a little bit of time.
I'd rather my kid go outside and play than go to Playboy.com.
Exactly. Hey, would you rather your kid go to a Buccaneers game? Yeah.
Right, go chase an ice cream truck. Get off that computer.
The Buccaneers are offering free tickets to season ticket holders after their worst attended game in 8 years.
Dang, that sucks.
Wow.
I don't understand.
You don't want to go see the Fitz play?
I never understand why people don't go to the games when they're season tickets. Like, even if the games are they're bad and the team sucks.
Because they
like,
didn't buy them as a fan of the team. They bought them in hopes that their team would turn around. So when the Patriots come to town, they could sell them for three times the face value and pay for their season tickets.
I know.
It's an investment. You think you're going to, some people buy them just to sell them to opposing fans that are coming to town.
Well, not only that, but
they
if you
sell
have
them again.
You get, it's the same reason people flip houses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You buy houses when they're cheap, so you buy. I'm sure there's if they're doing this kind of stunt, there's probably a season ticket holder discount special
too.
So you buy them for X amount of dollars. You have them for 6 years, and then you sell them for XXXX amount of dollars 6 years later when your team's in the Super Bowl or, you know, that's what they do.
Brother, that's knowledge. I didn't know. I didn't even think about
I'm
that. I always think about
just
season.
Business,
season
Eddie. Just
it
business.
Is business. It's America. Yeah. But that's what I always think about season ticket holders is like, you know, they're big companies and they're like, oh, we'll give tickets to clients or whatever.
Now, that happens a lot. And sometimes the clients don't want them.
Yes.
And so then they just go to waste.
But what I don't understand is when anyone offers me tickets or like I can take my kids to a Titans game or whatever, like I don't care if the Titans suck. Like the environment and that experience of taking my kids to a Titans game is priceless.
Well,
even if it's a terrible.
It depends on how many tickets you're getting. Usually you're only getting offered two tickets.
Right.
So that can be a problem for some people is they have more than it's them plus three kids or them two kids and a wife like you. So I don't know how you decide if there's only two tickets, who do you take?
In my family?
Yeah.
I'll take my 10-year-old. Because he's
older.
He's older. He'll enjoy it more. But the thing.
So if anybody's listening and you want to give Eddie tickets to the Titans game this weekend, he'd love to go see him play the Jets.
Listen, man, I don't care if they're playing a bad team or if they suck. Like, I just remember my experiences of going to these cool stadiums and watching professional game. It was a baseball game or a basketball game, whatever.
Okay, fun fact. First fun football game.
Football game? It was a preseason game, the Oilers versus the Chargers.
Awesome.
In San Antonio.
Who won?
It was preseason. I don't even remember. I don't even think we stayed for the whole thing.
Lunchbox?
My first NFL game was the Titans and Colts Thursday night football a couple years ago. It was freezing cold.
That was your first
football?
Yeah.
Professional football game?
What are you talking about, dude? We didn't go to NFL games ever. Ever.
That's neat. I didn't know.
Well,
that.
You're in Austin, so
yeah,
I mean, the closest
no,
would have been in Dallas or Houston.
Dallas
or
Houston. There wasn't. I mean, we just never. My dad didn't drive us to games.
And football games were expensive. Oh, they are expensive.
Are.
But as kids, that was impossible. Like the only way we got to go is because preseason, because they were super expensive. Like in $200 a ticket for a bad seat.
Oh man.
I got to go. My first game was a Monday night game, big game, Chiefs and Chargers. You remember Tamarick Vanover?
No. Nope.
Number 87, punt returner for the Chiefs.
Dude, that's really...
Returned a game-winning...
I've never heard the name Tamarick.
You never heard Tamarick Vanover?
Tamarick, I think it was Tamarick. T-A-M-A-R-I-C-K.
Brother, I know Christian Okoye.
35, Nigerian nightmare.
Hey, so it's funny that Lunchbox hasn't gone to... He's gone to what? Two games, maybe?
Yeah.
Total?
Have you never been
And
to
brother, how many football games have you been to?
I'd probably say...
NFL football games.
20.
Jeez.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's some Titans
Dang,
games.
Dang, money bags.
Like, are you
donating all those to charity, brother?
I did. I've got the ticket stubs if you
I'm
want.
Just giving you a hard time. I'm giving
yeah.
you a hard time.
Yeah, this dude, Tamarick Vanover is a former professional American football player in the NFL and CFL. He played for the Las Vegas Posse, the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Diego Chargers. There you go.
Hey,
went to Florida State.
Coach, you going to lock up the game tonight?
Nope. I'm going to just tell you, I will be taking the Saints minus the 7.5, even though my numbers, which are 10-3-1 on the year, Thursday night football, the home team covers. Yep. I'm looking at the Saints and saying, show me how the Cowboys can keep with, stay with them and score with them, or if their defense can hold them, and I don't think they can, but I'm not confident enough.
That's definitely what the smart bet is. I think if you're just going for like, I have to bet, I really, really have to bet, so let me go with a smarter bet, yes, take the Saints. But if you really want to risk it, and this risk could pay off, it really could, because you're taking 7.5 points, take the Cowboys. I had a dream last night. The defense is going to hold them. I'm with you, Lunchbox. I don't think that the offense can keep up with how much the Saints score. Take the Cowboys, man.
I'm blown away that he defends the whole thing based on math. The whole thing is about math.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes against math, which I agree with him.
No, but again, he's going with math.
No, he's not.
No, I'm not.
He's going against the spread. He said they're 10-3-1. He's taking the Saints, giving you 7.5.
The home team is 10-3-1 on Thursday football this year. And the math tells you, and I've been picking
I thought they were playing New Orleans.
No. It's at Dallas.
Oh, I didn't know.
He's saying the home team is 10-3-1 against the spread.
Yeah.
So I should bet the Cowboys plus 7.5.
But I just don't. Just my emotion. And that's how gambling gets you in trouble. My emotion.
But you love the history stats. Like you love the numbers that like.
Numbers don't lie.
Everybody that's worn the white jerseys in the Super Bowl win.
No, like, that's different.
No,
that's different.
No.
That's Ray math. But you're supposed to.
No.
Tomorrow you're supposed to wake up upset because you're going against what you're saying right now you shouldn't go against.
Right.
And I'm doing the same thing with you. I'm in my heart, I'm cheering for the Cowboys.
Well, brother, I appreciate
that.
Because I got
love for
you,
and you said this could be a season-ending game, and I don't want your season ending.
It could be. I don't think it is, but
I still think I should get cut into the fantasy football thing that we started at the top of the show if you win.
Brother, don't you have some work to do, brother? Get back to your work real quick.
$10.
Hit us up, Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Sorry about that argument that went a long time over.
I thought it was a good argument.
I thought it was a good argument. I thought it was a good talk. I thought it was a good dive into parenting. And
Riley's a boy's name anyway.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, get the boy's shoes and be done with it.
Riley is a boy's name.
Thank you. You have ADD, brother?
My sister just named her one of her twins Riley.
Yeah. Name your kid Riley.
And I love the other kid's name, too.
I'm just teasing Riley. Why don't we have Riley on? I know it'll never happen.
But there are Riley girls and Riley boys, so
yes.
That's very interesting. It's either way. Or there's Lincoln Riley.
Riley. Yeah. Texas.
Yep, yeah. Texas. Or OU, whichever.
There's O'Reilly.
Okay.
There is O'Reilly.
In case your starter goes out.
That's a good point.
All right.
All right.
For all the Rileys.
There's John C. Riley.
Yes.
You know who he is?
Yes.
Yeah,
actor.
He's a good comedian.
Actor.
Funny guy.
Yeah, he's going to be in a movie coming out Christmas with Will Ferrell.
That.
I don't know if it's going to be. It'll be good because they're funny together.
Yeah. Yep. Step Brothers guys, right?
Yeah.
That's who they were?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Curly
Never seen drum? That movie. Were you playing my drums? No. Why are you all sweaty?
All right, guys.
Have a great day. Yeah.
All right, Ray. Hey, we missed you, dude. Come back tomorrow.
Oh, are we going to name it after someone today?
We should.
I don't know, man. We had some good stuff on there today. We can name it after.
Okay, yeah, we did. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you tomorrow, and goodbye.